Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Do you feel confident in your faith? Are you confident enough to share it with other people? Our guest this hour wants to help you gain the confidence to share your faith calmly and joyfully, which I think is the way Jesus did it. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you would like to speak with our guest about sharing the faith with calm and joy. I'm your host, Cy Kellett, and the guest that we have is the content director for Bishop Robert Barron's Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. Brandon Vaught is also a best-selling Catholic author, blogger, and speaker. He's the founder of StrangeNotions.com, kind of one of the, probably the main place to dialogue between Catholics and atheists, and he has a couple of really exciting projects in the works, which we will get to in just a second. Brandon Vaught, thank you for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, thanks for having me, Cy. It's a great joy.
And so you did a thing, some YouTube stuff on getting confident. Tell me the name of that again.
About a week and a half ago, I started a video series called Confident Catholic, and it was all about how to get Catholics feeling confident about sharing their faith. And then that kind of transitioned into the launch of this bigger series that I'm calling Claritas U, which is an online membership site for Catholics that walks them slowly through a bunch of the hot button issues and helps them get clear and confident about those.
And so that was the plan all along. You would do the confident Catholic ones, and then that would kind of be the way of drawing attention to Claritas U, which is a fantastic project.
Yeah, exactly. I think my strategy was more kind of lay out the general principles in Confident Catholic. Mm-hmm. So here's why we're not confident. Here are things that you could do to get confident. And then that naturally led into Claritas U, which is we apply these general principles to the specific hot button issues that cause most Catholics to get nervous.
Well, just the name, Claritas, it suggests that the reason in your mind that people are not confident is they're not clear on the faith. Is that right?
Yeah. I believe that clarity breeds confidence. So if you want to be confident, you got to get clear. The most confident Catholics in the world, and we see this on shows like this one, Catholic Answers Live, are not necessarily the ones, the people who know the most facts, who have the greatest memory, or who are the most eloquent. The most confident Catholics are those who are clear about what they believe. Yep. They're clear about the objections to those beliefs because they've heard them a million times, and they're clear how to respond to those objections. So it really comes down to clarity. If you can get clear about what you believe and how to respond to the objections, then you'll be confident.
And so there is a kind of pressure now on people, wouldn't you say? There's a kind of like we don't live in a society where it's like, oh, you're this, I'm that. But there's a kind of justify for me why you believe that Christian stuff, why you believe that Catholic stuff.
Yeah, I think you're dead right. I think in past decades, the culture was mostly ambivalent toward Christianity. Like you said, it was kind of live and let live. Mm-hmm. You believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. But I think especially in the past decade, and more specifically since 9/11, the culture has become increasingly antagonistic toward faith. And we see this all the time. There are countless examples of ways that faith is being squeezed out of the public conversation. And more specifically, when I talk to individual Catholics, I hear all the time, they tell me, they feel pressured, they feel nervous, they feel like they don't want to admit that they're a Catholic or a Christian because they're afraid of the repercussions.
Yeah.
And so that was the whole purpose of this Claritas U program, was to help you stop feeling nervous, to get you feeling confident, and so you don't have to be afraid anymore.
Well, if you're nothing if not clear and succinct yourself, Brandon, in your writing and whatnot. But so now you've got it broken down into three things to get clear about.
Yeah, that's right. Again, I think if you want to get clear about your faith, it really boils down to these three things. First, getting clear about what you believe. You know, that's the foundation. If you don't know what you believe and you can't express it clearly, then you're going to be nervous. You're going to be tongue-tied. You're going to feel awkward. So that's number one. Second, you need to get clear about the best objections to those beliefs. And that's why, again, shows like this one where people call in with real objections are so valuable, mm-hmm. because you can see the best arguments people have against Catholicism. And once you've heard those, once you're familiar with them, they won't scare you. You know, you can go into any situation and know, well, I've heard the best arguments against Catholicism and I know how to answer them. So that's the second thing to get clear about, is the best objections. And then third and finally, the last thing you need to get clear about are the best responses to those objections. You want to be prepared not only for the objections, but how to answer them charitably and succinctly and persuasively. So those are the three ways to get clear. You need to get clear about what you believe, clear about the objections, and clear how to answer them.
And that's what Brandon intends to do for you today, too. If you have questions about how to share your faith with clarity, calm, and joy, and he's got all kinds of helpful ideas for you. Happy to take your calls, 888-318-7884. Also, welcome to everybody watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope, and you have two options there. You can give us a call. We'd love to take your call at 888-318-7884, or you can just type in your question there for Brandon, and if we can get to it, we will get to it. Brandon, how do you feel about just going right to calls?
I'd love it. Let's do it.
All right. Eddie in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening on the Stations of the Cross. You are on with Brandon Vaught. What's your question?
Hi, Brandon. I just wondered, I went to a Catholic university, and as far as, you know, I had nothing against the Catholic, you know. Well, I didn't know anything about it, but I had nothing against it, you know. But mostly when I got there, was like they would just tell me you're a Catholic, and then that would be it, you know. So I really got not much more than that. So I would hope that if you were to say that you're Catholic and that you think that this is the truth and the way, that you would give, a reason more to it, you know, give them some something so that they would be interested, you know?
Yeah, I'm totally with you, Eddie. You know, I think for many Catholics, if you ask them, why are you Catholic? You'd probably get some version of an answer like, well, that's the way I was raised, or that's just what I believe, or that's what my family believes, you know, something like that. Now, those all may be true, and they're not bad reasons to accept Catholicism personally, but the problem is they're not objective, and so they're not persuasive to other people. What we need are objective reasons to defend our faith, to explain why it's true, not just for us, but for everybody. And so that's when we need to turn to, say, the great truths in the creed. Well, I'm Catholic because I believe God exists. I believe Jesus is God. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he established the church, and so on and so forth. So it's important that we have good objective reasons to explain why we believe what we believe, specifically why we're Catholic.
Does that help you, Eddie?
It sure does. Yes, very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Eddie. Brandon, I think we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more calls on how to share your faith with clarity, calm, and joy. Brandon Vaught is our guest this hour, content director for Bishop Robert Barron's Word on Fire Catholic Ministries and doer of many other things. And now, Claritas U. Listen, before we go to break, Brandon, real quick, the website, how do I find Claritas U?
Great question. The website's Claritas U, the letter U, claritasu.com, and the enrollment window closes tomorrow. So we're only open for a limited time to new members. So you want to check it out today or tomorrow at the latest.
Okay, very good. We'll be right back with more Brandon Vaught on Catholic Answers Live.
Your number one source for Catholic apologetics and evangelization, Catholic Answers Live.
We hear it every year. The perennial question: what are you giving up for Lent? And there's nothing wrong with doing without certain things you may have an affinity for. But this year, why not turn the question around and ask, what are you taking on for Lent? Did you know that by investing as little as 5 minutes a day, you can take on a Lenten practice that will both build up and inform your faith? A Daily Defense is the perfect book for your Lenten journey. Jimmy Akin takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Make this Lent one to remember. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
It was 100 years ago that our Blessed Mother appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal, and Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or by going to Catholic.com. Getting Fatima right, exploding the myths of Fatima, and a closer look at our Blessed Mother. Just a few of the articles to look forward to. You don't want to miss this very special issue highlighting this hallmark event in Catholic history. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Brandon Vaught is our guest from Bishop Robert Barron's Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. Sharing your faith with clarity, calm, and joy is the topic. And claritasu.com is where you can find him. And you do all that by yourself, Claritasu.
Not quite by myself. I have an assistant, Margot Basso, who is an uber Catholic Answers Live fan. So I promised I'd give her a shout out on the air. She loves you guys, and she's been so great for me.
I am so glad to hear that. Well, because we know Margot very well. That's cool.
Right.
All right. So we'll go to calls again. We have an anonymous caller in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on Stations of the Cross. Anonymous, you are on with Brandon Vaught. No? Anonymous? I kind of heard Anonymous.
Hello?
Oh, hi. There you are. You're on with Brandon Vaught.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I heard the three points that Brandon enumerated, and it just struck me that he doesn't address a kind of a fundamental point as to why so many Catholics feel nervous about sharing their faith. I mean, of course, it's vitally important to know your faith and to be clear in your own beliefs, but I think, if I'm honest, I have to say that social pressure, fear of social conflict, is a powerful reason why I'm sometimes reticent about speaking up in social situations where, you know, viewpoints contrary to the faith are being enunciated. And, you know, I think it's a very prevalent fear that Catholics have living in a society which is increasingly hostile to the Catholic faith. So I'm wondering what strategies or what Brandon would say in response to Catholics who have trouble speaking up because of this fear of social ostracism or being pilloried, you know, in front of a group, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's not an uncommon one. Most of the Catholics I talk to would say something almost identical, that they're afraid of discussing their faith, not only because they don't know what to say, but they're worried about the reactions. They don't want to disrupt or ruin a relationship. They're worried about, especially situations in the work environment or the student environment, any repercussions that would result. So let me say a couple things about that. First, I'm with you that I'm not suggesting we need to speak up in every situation, that anytime a moral religious topic comes up, we necessarily need to make the Catholic view known. There is an element of prudence that takes the context into consideration and judges whether it's an appropriate time to bring up the faith or whether it'll result in real fruit or whether it'll do more damage than good. So in every situation, there's a prudential discussion that needs to be had. But the second point is that that's an independent question of whether you know what to say in the situations where it would be prudent to speak up. I found that for many Catholics, it's true that some situations would be imprudent, but in the situations that would be prudent to speak up, they still are nervous and afraid because they don't quite know what to say. They're worried they'll say the wrong thing in the wrong way at the wrong time, and they'll hurt somebody's feelings, they'll rupture a relationship or any of that. So I would first add those two points, that one, it is a question of prudence, but two, there will be times when it's prudent to speak up, and in those times you need clarity. But then finally, I'd say that there are simple tactics, and you see many of them exhibited here on this show whenever Catholic Answers opens the lines to non-Catholics, particularly atheists and Protestants. There are ways to have civil, charitable discussions about hot-button issues without ruining a relationship or without backlash or social repercussions. And I think the best way to do that is not to preach, not to shove your view down someone's throats, but to ask lots and lots of questions. So, for example, if you're at work or if you're in the classroom or you're at, among friends and you're worried about any backlash that would come up, instead of just stating the Catholic view or trying to force it down other people's throats, instead ask questions about the opposing view. So if somebody implies, say, that God doesn't exist, or someone suggests that the church is wrong about same-sex marriage, you might instead lead with questions asking, well, why do you believe that's true? You know, or what reasons do you have to think the church is wrong on same-sex marriage? Or what evidence do you have that would suggest that God doesn't exist? When you ask questions, you don't usually face the sort of backlash that you get when you make statements. So those would be the three things I'd say is, number one, it is a question of prudence. Number two, there are situations where prudence requires you to speak up, so you need to be clear. And then number three, in those situations, ask more questions than make statements.
Does that help you, Anonymous?
Okay. Yeah, I think that is good. Yeah, I was just looking for some general guidelines as to, you know, where to draw the line in terms of those prudential decisions. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you, Anonymous. Brandon, are you saying that if I know my faith really well, I do have that sense of clarity and calm about what I believe? Maybe I'll make the judgment that I can share my faith a little bit more than I would otherwise, or maybe a lot more. That
I think with clarity and confidence comes freedom, because you're then free to say, "Well, I can speak up or I cannot." But if you're not clear about your faith, then you basically never speak up. You're enslaved to being silent. And so we need to get clear so that we do have the flexibility to, when the situation calls for it, speak up.
Brandon Vaught is our guest. 888-318-7884 is our number. Sharing your faith with clarity, calm, and joy is our topic today. We go now to Matthew in Wilmington, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Matthew, you are on with Brandon Vaught. What's your question?
Hi, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Matthew. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I am a college student at Wilmington College, which is a Quaker college, and I was just wondering, because sometimes I'll get the bravery to speak up in class and state something that's from the Catholic perspective, and honestly, sometimes after I get done speaking, I feel like I can hear their thoughts of my fellow students, just like, oh, I can't believe you said that, what a jerk. I mean, and I guess I'm just wondering, what are some good ways to interact with college students specifically, especially like my peers, that would be a good way to just spread Catholicism?
Yeah, great question, Matthew. I would give a lot of the same advice I gave to the last caller. You know, I would say, number one, you need to discern when it's prudent to speak up and not. You know, I will say, I've talked to a lot of kids in high school and college classes who have horror stories about when they've spoken up in the middle of class, usually when they're objecting to something the teacher said. And so I'll say, hearing from these stories, it's usually not the best idea to confront a teacher in class and object to their views in front of all the other kids. That usually doesn't turn out well. But that doesn't mean that silence is the only option. There are several other ways to maneuver that situation. So one would be gently challenging the professor's views by asking questions. You know, it's the same approach I just mentioned. Use Socratic dialogue, model the approach that you hear on shows like Catholic Answers Live, and delicately push back against the teacher's assumptions with questions. Other than that, you can also, I think, engage far more fruitfully in one-on-one discussions with the other students out of class. You know, classrooms tend to be a pretty tense and often hostile atmosphere. But out of class, maybe after class, in the study halls, on Facebook, you know, privately, that's a much better time to maybe engage or push back a little bit on whatever views are held in class. So those would be two things I'd recommend.
No, well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Matthew. Michelle in Boston, Massachusetts. Oh, another caller from Stations of the Cross there in Boston, Massachusetts. You are on with Brandon Vaught. What's your question?
Well, I was thinking more of, you know, sometimes in a situation where somebody says something negative about the Catholic faith, and you know, I'm sort of stymied, like what you, like you say. It's like you hesitate to speak up because you're afraid to say the wrong thing or whatever. How do I, as a Catholic, you know, approach that?
Yeah, I'd say a few things. One tactic that I've learned from my friends at a United Kingdom group called Catholic Voices is anytime someone criticizes the church, there's always a good seed behind that criticism, always what they call a positive intention. So, for example, if they criticize the Catholic Church's handling of the sexual abuse cases, you know, a couple decades ago, usually that means they care deeply about children, about protecting children, about the life and dignity of every human person. And so instead of responding immediately by saying, oh, that was in the past, things have gotten a lot better, it's not that big of a deal now, instead of that, you could begin by saying something like, hey, I agree with you. You know, that was an awful thing. I'm just as upset and scandalized by it as you are. Children should never be abused or taken advantage of, and people that do should be punished as severely as the law allows. And so by doing that, you find something in their criticism to agree with. You start on common ground. That tends to diffuse a lot of the tension and make it less of a mano battle of words. And so that's a good approach I like to recommend, is whenever somebody criticizes something that you deeply believe, try and find the positive intention behind it. Try to find the shared value that you can begin with. And then after you find common ground, you can move into a more thorough response.
Oh, that's good. No, because the reason why I say that too is sometimes my son is baptized Catholic, but he has a faith, but I'm not sure what that is. And sometimes he will ask me a question, and he'll say, you know, explain your faith. And that's when I say, well, I'm at a loss for words. So try to find the positive intention behind that.
Yeah, or I'd say too, Michelle, maybe turn the tables around and ask him what he believes. You know, what do you believe about God or about the church or about prayer? You know, these things. Because what I've found often is that many people who have left the church have very muddled and confused views of God and of Catholicism. And you can expose that by asking simple questions. What do you believe? Why do you believe that? Where did you get that belief from? So ask him those questions. Put him on the spot a little bit more rather than you feeling all the pressure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Brandon, do you have like role models? Like you're giving the principles, but I wonder if you have a role model or two or three that you can say, like, that person did it.
Yeah, you know, you guys did not pay me to say this, but I'll say all the apologists at Catholic Answers model these principles wonderfully. I think of Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard, who was just on the channel, Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin. If you listen to any of the hours of this show, you'll see a masterclass of these principles on display. And then finally, I'd add my own boss again. Maybe because it's obligatory, but more likely because I so admire him. But Bishop Barron, I think, is another model at this. He's able to engage people who deeply disagree with the church, including many who have been wounded deeply by the church, and gently, charitably, but effectively turn the discussion in a positive direction and help lead them a little closer to God.
Well, does Bishop Barron, you don't have to share anything out of school or anything, but does he ever get criticism, you know, for, oh, you're being too easy on that person, or you needed to give a, because I do think some of our apologists get that sometimes, probably. And so the person who maybe masters these techniques can also be vulnerable to criticism from within the church itself.
Of course. I mean, that's true for any Catholic who's open in public with their faith. And I think, though, that it shouldn't stop us. You know, I think people like Bishop Barron, Catholic apologists on Catholic Answers, we're all criticized for various reasons. But to me, that's never been a reason to slow down or to stop. You know, look at all the great evangelists and catechists in Scripture. You know, think of people like Peter, Paul, James, John, all the rest of the writers in the New Testament who were relentlessly criticized by the communities they served. But to me, that's it's sort of a secondary consideration. These are all in-house criticisms that are worth dealing with. But let's collectively agree that the best use of the church's energies is focused toward the missions of evangelization and catechesis. So let's move forward together. Are we going to make mistakes? Sure, but let's keep moving forward.
And, you know, Brandon, we're coming up right against the break. I just want to ask you a question real quick. How important is it to you in your mind that we're, as well as being clear on the faith, we're trying to live the faith day to day, you know, like that we're kind to the poor, or that we're, you know, all the things, those kinds of things.
crucially important, the best argument for Catholicism is a saint. So it's going to work better than arguments.
Yeah, very good. Brandon Vaught, sharing your faith with clarity, calm, and joy is our topic this hour. Brandon's happy to take your calls on how to do just that. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
This is Pat Buchanan. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
It was 100 years ago that our Blessed Mother appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal, and Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or by going to Catholic.com. Getting Fatima right, exploding the myths of Fatima, and a closer look at our Blessed Mother. Just a few of the articles to look forward to. You don't want to miss this very special issue highlighting this hallmark event in Catholic history. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Where can you find the answers to hundreds of the most common questions about the Catholic faith? Catholic Answers 20 Answer Series, that's where. Clear, concise, and easy to carry, the 20 Answer Series from Catholic Answers Press offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. They're available individually, at special bulk prices, or you can get a starter pack of all 20 at a very special price. And remember, you can now purchase them as ebooks for reading on your mobile devices. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com today to get your copies of all the titles in this exciting new series, or ask for them at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Coming up tomorrow on EWTN Radio, Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Teresa talks with Eric Sammons about the old evangelization, how to spread the faith like Jesus did, and then Andrew Walther about the Knights of Columbus efforts to aid genocide victims. Teresa Tomeo airs weekday mornings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. And right after Catholic Answers Live, keep it here for EWTN Live. Monsignor John Armitage discusses deep devotion to and love for Our Lady right here on EWTN Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Brandon Vaught is our guest this hour. Brandon Vaught, the founder now of Claritas U. And you should check it out today because it's enrollment. Is that the right word, enrollment, Brandon?
That's right.
It closes tomorrow. So
that's right.
Go over to Claritas, C-L-A-R-I-T-A-S, and the letter U, all one word, .com. And you can learn more about that effort there. We're talking today about sharing your faith with clarity, calm, and joy. 888-318-7884 is the number. And Brandon, we have a volunteer from Immaculate Heart Radio here with us in the studio. That's Martin, and he has a question for you.
Great.
Yeah. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Martin.
I appreciate all you're doing. I'm real interested in a little bit about your bio and your faith journey and what brought you to this place that you're doing what you're doing.
Great. Yeah, I'd love to share that. So I was born and raised a Protestant. I was a Presbyterian for the first roughly 20 years of my life. And to make a long story short, in my senior year of college, I was studying mechanical engineering and minoring in physics and math. So I was real inquisitive and analytical. And I began exploring different traditions and ended up stumbling on Catholicism. And after a year of exploring, I decided to become Catholic like 2 weeks before I graduated college. So that was about 8 years ago. And then after that, I'd been writing a fairly popular blog as a Protestant. And then when I became Catholic, that blog sort of morphed into a semi-Catholic apologetics type blog. that started gaining traction, and that eventually led to my first book, which was called The Church and New Media, and that led to some more books, some other speaking and writing. And then 3 years ago, I was invited by Bishop Robert Barron, then Father Robert Barron, to come work for his wonderful Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. So that's what I've been doing for the past few years. I got several different side projects and irons in the oven, but my main work is facilitating the mission of Bishop Robert Barron at Word on Fire.
Well, I did notice that he became a bishop after he hired you, so somebody must have thought that was a brilliant
hire. Look, I said, Holy Father, this guy needs to be made a bishop.
Oh, you used your connections.
Yeah.
Okay. On Facebook Live, folks are watching us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope, and welcome and hi to everybody who's doing that. Diana in, I believe it's Kalita, Ohio, is watching on Facebook Live, and she has a question for you, Brandon. Diana?
It is Kalita, Ohio.
Oh, Kalita, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's my junior religion class, our CCD class tonight.
Oh, so you're all watching? Are you all
watching?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we are.
Very cool.
Hi,
I had to go to another
Kalida?
Room so they could watch it. But their question was, we've been talking about going to college in a couple years, you know, and they were like, how do they tell their friends away at college why they go to, we're a really small town, so they really don't know a lot of non-Catholics. What are they supposed to tell them? Why they are getting up and going to church at 8 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, making time to go to church?
Hey, thanks, Diana. That's a great question. It's one I think a lot of young people, if they're not asked it themselves, they certainly consider it themselves. Why am I going to Mass? Why should I wake up and go to church? I say a couple things. One, you need to take the context of the questioner into consideration. So if you're getting asked this question from Protestant friends, so friends who believe in the Bible, who believe in Jesus, then the answer you might give would be closer to saying something like, well, because Jesus told us to, you know, because Jesus told us to eat and drink his body and blood and as Paul says, continue meeting together. So that'd be the answer I'd probably give to a Protestant. You would use the Bible itself to show why we're encouraged, in fact, commanded to keep the Lord's Day holy, and we do that through the Mass. Now, if I'm talking to maybe a more secular person who doesn't maybe even believe in God or believe that Jesus is God, then there would be a few steps before that. You know, you might say something like, well, you know, I go to Mass because it's the place where I encounter God in the deepest and most fulfilling way. And you would have to maybe explain how that perhaps takes place through receiving the Eucharist, through praying with the community, through worshiping God in spirit and in word. But I think it's a tricky question. There's no one answer because you really got to consider where the people asking you that are coming from and then adjust your answer as needed. So hopefully that helps a little.
Yeah. Can I throw one more in real quick?
Yes, you can.
They were wanting to also know about how do they keep their faith once they go and they're around all this. We keep telling him how it's going
to
be.
Yeah, I'd say number one. If you are a Catholic and you go off to college, get connected with other Catholic college students. Usually that means connecting with a college campus ministry, maybe a Newman Center. Maybe there are either Focus or Net missionaries on your campus. Whatever the case, get connected with other Catholics early. And if you're a parent, and you take your kid to orientation or to the first week, make that connection then. You know, don't assume that your child will figure things out on their own. Bring them to the college campus ministry and introduce them and get them plugged in. Because I saw over and again in my experience when I was exploring the Catholic Church at Florida State University, it was the Catholic campus ministry that drew me in. And for a lot of people there, they said, if it wasn't for this place, I would have lost my faith in college. And I'm sure that for many people, they did lose their faith because they didn't find that community. So that's number one. Do that before anything else is find a Catholic group on campus and get plugged in early.
Diana?
Well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. And the kids have been talking about calling in, and this worked out perfect.
Oh, well, call anytime. That's really exciting that we've got your CCD class there. That's a very nice thing to hear from you. If I could offer one more resource to you, Aurora Griffin wrote a book called How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. And that's from Ignatius Press. And maybe just head over to the Ignatius Press site and pick up How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard, because it does exactly what Brandon was just talking about. It walks you through all the things you can be connected to and all the ways you can maintain your Catholic faith in the midst of the academy, which is not always amenable to it. Thanks, Diana. Very happy to have you call. Call anytime. We go now to Jonathan in Lake Worst, California, listening or watching on YouTube Live. Jonathan, you're on with Brandon Vaught.
Hello, guys. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Jonathan. Good.
Yeah, so I got kind of like a two-part question. In the beginning, using exaggerations to get points across, is that okay? I heard once that people use exaggerations to get points across. Like, for example, this is out of my own intuition. Against homosexuality, I use usually the argument, let's assume, like, we all became homosexual, and the homosexual relationship, obviously, we can't conceive children. And so that would be against what Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. I think I said it incorrectly. But I haven't really read the Bible that much. I usually read it in pieces. Like, I jump around a lot. But I do have a lot of mentors. So I get nervous when people say, well, where's that in the Bible? And so How much do I rely on my own intuition and the intuition of others?
Yeah, thanks for that, Jonathan. Sounds like there were maybe a few questions packed in there, so let me take them one at a time. So the first one you asked was, is it okay to use exaggerations? And I would offer a hesitant yes. You know, if we look at the Gospels, we see Jesus using hyperbole quite often to make his points. But I think there's a difference between a lie and an exaggeration. You know, if you're exaggerating something in a good way, then it tends to be more hyperbolic. You're just using that for rhetorical effect. But if we exaggerate things in the sense of maybe offering statistics that are a bit higher than what they are in reality in order to prove our point, that's probably a bad idea. Those sorts of exaggerations tend to come back and hurt you in the end. So that's one thing I'd say. Number two, you kind of said, what do I say to my friends if they say, where's that in the Bible? And I'm not super familiar with the Bible. I say a few things. One, if you go to Catholic.com, which is Catholic Answers website here, they have tons of articles and resources on the biblical basis for just about every Catholic doctrine under the sun. So if there's one in particular you're stumped on, go check out the Catholic Answers website. But second, my usual tendency, especially if I can't come up with a verse on the spot to answer that, is just to ask this simple question. Do you think that everything Christians should believe needs to be found in the Bible, that we can't believe anything that's not explicitly taught in the Bible? And if they say no, they don't believe that, then you say, oh, okay, then we don't need to find explicit biblical proof for every church teaching, and you're good to go. If they say yes, that you do need to find biblical proof for everything you believe, then you can just simply ask the follow-up question, where in the Bible does it teach that? Where in the Bible does it say that everything that you believe needs to be found in the Bible? And the answer is there's no verse that teaches that. And so that view is sort of self-contradictory, the sort of where is it in the Bible or the prove it from the Bible sort of view. So that's how I'd handle that. And then your last question was, where do you draw the line between relying on your own intuition and the intuition of mentors? And that's, I mean, a very general and abstract question. It'd be tough to give a good answer without getting into particularities. But I'd say the way you posed it almost answers itself, that you need to find a balance between what you believe and intuit and your gut feelings and, on the other hand, the advice that you're receiving from wise mentors, from priests, from friends, from other people around you. So it's probably a weak answer, but it's as best as I can give to a general question like that.
Thank you, Jonathan. We got to take a break right now, Brandon, and we'll be right back with more on how to share your faith with clarity, calm, and joy. Brandon Vaught is our guest. 888-318-7884 is the number. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Broussard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth, showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." It is in the fulfilling of the law and prophets that he challenges all who hear him. He did not intend to fulfill the law by beginning with outward observance, as his fellow Jews were accustomed to expect. From this point forward, fulfillment of the law had to come from inside the person. Mere outward observance in itself would not be sufficient. Outward observance would have to reflect an inner disposition. So often he charged the scribes and Pharisees with appearing blameless on the outside, but inside being full of corruption and deceit. The kingdom of God demands much more. It demands purity of heart. "Blessed are the pure of heart," he was to say, "for they shall see God." To have a pure heart is to prefer nothing to him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Brandon Vaught is our guest, the creator of Claritas U and the content director for Bishop Robert Barron's Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. 888-318-7884 is the number. And as I said before, Brandon, people are watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope. And Aaron from Facebook Live typed the following question to you. What do you say, Brandon, to Catholics who say, "I don't discuss my faith because it is private"?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think over the last generation, a lot of us have been led to believe that faith is just something personal and private. It's indecipherable from just an opinion or a preference, such as, you know, I got my favorite foods, you got your favorite foods, but yeah. I don't go around blabbering about what I want to eat for dinner tonight. That's my own private, you know, decision. But I think we got to push back against that. And there are several ways to do that, I think, gently. So one of them would be if you're talking with a fellow Christian, so either a Catholic or a Protestant or someone from the Eastern Orthodox tradition, I would point to the Bible, which over and over again in the New Testament encourages us to be public, prophetic, and bold in speaking about our faith. You know, and it traces right back to Jesus's command at the Great Commission. You know, he didn't say go around the world and be private about your faith. He said go around the world preaching everything that I've taught you, baptizing people in my name. So I think there's clear biblical warrant to be open about our faith. But another thing I would say to people who say, "Oh, my faith is just a private thing," is I would say, and I get this from Bishop Barron, he says, you know, we don't speak that way about any other thing that we care deeply about. You know, take, for example, politics. You will almost never meet a person who has deeply convicted views about politics, but then says, "Well, I just keep them to myself. I'm private about them." The only people that keep their political opinions to themselves generally are people who don't really feel deeply or strongly either way. They're not deeply convicted. But if you believe that one political decision or orientation is better for society than another, you're compelled to speak out because you know that it'll help people. And I think the same thing's true about our Catholic faith, that if you really believe that your Catholic faith is good for other people, that becoming Catholic, falling in love with Jesus, meeting him in the sacraments is good for them, then you want to tell as many people as you can about it. And if you don't feel that way, then we got a bigger problem than just being private about your faith.
We go now to Marcia in Elkhart, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Marcia, what's your question for Brandon Vaught?
My question is, I was a Vatican II era kid, and I felt like when Vatican II came about, a lot of the CCD teachers and everyone didn't really know for sure what they were supposed to be teaching. It seemed like they didn't know what changes there were and what they were supposed to teach us. And I don't know if other people are like me, but I don't feel like I got a lot of things. I've had to go to our CIA. I've gone through our CIA 3 times now, but part of the time it's been sponsoring others. Just to be able to try to get a grip on my faith.
Yep.
And I just don't know if, other people felt the same way.
Yeah, in my experience, talking with thousands of other Catholics, Marcia, I'll say you're not alone. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty typical of your generation of Catholics. And I say this to our discredit, that I think after the Second Vatican Council, a lot more emphasis was placed on the experiential and the psychological dimensions of Catholicism, and not a lot on the catechetical and the evangelistic. And so we're seeing, I think, the fruit of a large generation that has discounted the reasons to believe what we believe. So I'd recommend a few things. It sounds like you're on the right track if you've attended RCIA 3 times, either as yourself or as a sponsor. That will help, undoubtedly. But I would also encourage you to seek out good Catholic resources. Again, I'd look at things like Catholic Answers, the website, the podcast. I'd mention things like wordonfire.org, which is Bishop Robert Barron's YouTube channel. There are tons of great Catholic websites, podcasts, blogs. All that will help you start feeling more clear and confident about what you believe. And then, without tooting my own horn too much here, we've mentioned a few times, I have my own online program called Claritas U that was really designed for people just like you who are passionate about their faith but don't quite sure know how to articulate it. And so we have specific courses on atheism, on same-sex marriage, on the Bible, on science, all these videos that'll help you get up to speed quickly and start feeling more confident that you can share it and express it with others. So those would be some good places to start, Marcia.
Yeah, I kind of live in the Mennonite Amish area, and they're great ones for quoting the Bible constantly. You know,
sure.
Everything is a quote. They know, all the stuff right off the top of their heads. And there was a Mennonite pastor who came to my class, like in the 4th grade, something like that, and would give kids candy for memorizing verses and all this kind of thing. And my mother got mad and made me sit out in the hall. She wouldn't let me sit in on the classes. So I didn't even learn any of those through them. And now I'm old enough that it's hard for me to read these things and get them to stick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Brandon, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I totally get that. As with learning anything, it comes through repetition. So you listen to shows like this, you read articles, you read books as much as you can. I know it's hard. You watch videos. And the more you hear the truths of the Catholic faith, the more deeply they'll stick. So make repetition your goal, and I think you'll improve.
And try out Claritas U. You don't know. ClaritasU.com is where you go for that. We go now. Hello, Margo in Naperville, Illinois, watching on Facebook Live. You are on with Brandon Vaught.
Hi, Brandon. Hi.
Hey, Margo.
How are you guys doing?
Good, Margo.
Great.
This is Brandon's personal assistant, or at least Claritas U. So it's great to talk with you guys. And Brandon, my question is, what about with family members? How do you stay calm when you just want to see your siblings or your parents or your cousins return to the faith? Do you happen to have a book or anything that maybe you've written or someone else has written that is specifically for family members?
Yeah, good question, Margo. Great to hear from you. I'd say a few things. One, I think it's always hardest to evangelize and discuss the faith with family members. You know, I think of our Lord's statement where he says a prophet's not welcome in his hometown. And who did Jesus have the most difficulty engaging? People who knew him, growing up, who thought they knew what he was all about and were therefore closed off to whatever he had to say. So for those reasons, it can be often difficult for us to share our faith with our own family members. But I say a few things. Let me mention a couple good books. Patrick Madrid has a great book on helping family members in particular, come back to the faith. It's called Search and Rescue. So if you got maybe a cousin, a father, a niece, maybe some sort of relative who you'd like to draw back to the church, get that book. It's a great walkthrough of some tips and tactics to draw back family members. And then second, I'll mention my own book. I wrote a book a couple years ago called Return, How to Draw Your Child Back to the Church. Now, that book's a little different than Patrick's because it focuses specifically on the parent-child relationship, which is unique. You know, if you're a parent and you're trying to draw back a fallen away son or daughter, you got to engage the situation a little differently than you might with a parent or a niece or another relative. So those would be two good books to get. But I just encourage a lot of people with family situations in a few ways. I'd say you're not alone, so don't despair. Second, pray. You know, even if the relationship's ruptured, even if you have a hard time talking with your fallen away family member, pray for them. And then finally, pick up one of those two books, because I think either one of them will be a big help to you.
Thank you so much, Brandon. And I just encourage everyone to just head over right now to claritasu.com, sign up. We have about 1,200 people already in the forums, and I'd love to see you guys all there.
Thank you, Margot. Thank you. Very nice to hear your voice, Margot. We go now to Mary in LeBlanc, Louisiana, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Mary, you are on with Brandon Vaught.
Hi,
Mary. What's your question for Brandon?
Well, I'm married to somebody that's not Catholic, and he's pretty anti-Catholic, you know. And so in years past, we've talked about the faith and everything, but it usually ended in an argument. And so when I talk about my faith, it's really personal, and I get emotional a lot of times. And so I was just wondering how I might talk about the faith in a way that wouldn't be emotional, you know?
Yeah, thank you for that. And I sympathize with you. I know how difficult it must be. I've heard from many people who are in the same situation with a spouse. And I got to say that it seems to me, from what I hear, that's the most deeply distressing situation, when you have a spouse who is not just ambivalent toward your Catholic faith, but is a bit antagonistic toward it. I'd say a few things. One, everything I just said to Margot would hold here as well. Check out one of those two books, either Search and Rescue or Return. I think you'll find some helpful tips in there. Second, pray for your husband. Think here of St. Monica. You know, most people remember St. Monica for helping to convert her son, St. Augustine, but a lot of people forget that she also converted her husband, who was a staunch atheist, who openly mocked her faith, who didn't want to have anything to do with it. But she prayed for years, just as she did for her son, and was able to eventually win over her husband as well. So read the story of Monica. I think you'll find some great inspiration there. And then finally, I think you've sort of sounded the right approach in what I've heard you say, that you got to be delicate. You don't want to push too hard. I think that's the right way, at least for the near future. Instead of trying to convince your husband to be Catholic or be too in his face about it, you might delicately show how the faith is improving your life. You know, you might express the joy that you get from your faith. You might serve him without expecting anything in return. For you, maybe the way in might not be arguments from reason. It might not be that he's particularly drawn to some beautiful element of the Catholic faith, but maybe he's drawn in by the goodness of Catholicism that he sees born in your own life. So those would be some general tips I would give. But most of all, I'd encourage you, don't despair. Don't despair. There's lots of people in your position. We can all pray for each other. And I think we have saints in heaven like Monica who can pray for us too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary, for that call. We go now to Scott in Rochester, New York. Scott, you are on with Brandon Vaught.
Hello. My question would be, I have had to discuss my faith with other people, and with less than success. But when I discussed it, I always remembered that God puts the words in my mouth, and it worked.
Scott, I'm sorry I put you on too late, but I think that's a great point to end on. What do you think, Brandon?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is always with us, giving us the words to speak and the courage to speak them, so you're never alone.
Amen, brother. Brandon Vaught, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Thanks, Cy. It was a great time.
And great to have you. This is Catholic Answers Live. You know we do it all again tomorrow, but it's open forum tomorrow. So if you've got some question about the life of the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith, or any aspect of the life of religion or morals, please give us a call tomorrow when we do Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we will be back tomorrow.